And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to another edition, a small ball edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. Tim Kawakami is on, and the Warriors don't have a center, a healthy center, for right now.
That's, I always flash back to the Dynasty days when they had six or seven of them, and you couldn't figure out how they were going to play all of them, and they didn't. They had Barajow and Bogut and Looney and Damian Jones and all those guys, and now they don't have any of them. It is bizarre, if having gone through the previous era.
Which of those would help the most right now? Because it's funny, Steph said he saw Zaza, yep, who's now in the Warriors front, yep, office, in the tunnel post game, and asked him if he could play. Zaza said he would pull two hammies, but Zaza, JaVale probably JaVale would help the most. He's actually become an intriguing, the Nets apparently are sniffing around, yep, on him. Yep. He's maybe a deadline ad. Damian Jones not getting minutes in Phoenix. Jordan Bell was on a 10-day in Washington, but just got a cut.
You could throw Omari Spellman in there, right? He's available.
I think he might be going to the G League bubble. Yeah, no, there are. That's the funny thing. There are a ton of, yep, centers out, yep, there, including Dwayne. Yeah, I think Deadman's still available. Thon,
he's actually pretty good. Or I thought. I mean, he's not on a team right now, but
yeah. I mean, who knows how good a shape he's in? Right? Maybe there's a reason he's not. Yep. Signing, yep, you know, who knows? I mean, there's this idea of Dwayne Dedman, like you're going to drop him in, and he's in midseason form, shooting 37% from three and blocking shots. But even if they sign somebody right now, he'd have to go through six straight, yep, days of negative coronavirus tests. Yep. And the Warriors, now, I think we could have a longer discussion about the fact that they might need to sign another center long term for depth. But in this moment where Wiseman's out the next 6 to 9 days, probably at this point, and Looney's probably in that range too. Steve Kerr said post game he's probably going to miss the next couple games. If they were going to sign a center, it would be for now.
Yep.
And they can't add one now because of those protocols. So it's just going to be small ball for this Texas trip, which is two against Dallas, two against San Antonio. And honestly, I want to have a larger discussion with you on the roster construction part of this and how they got to this moment, because that's what I wrote about. But also, I think I'm higher on this road trip than most people about this whole non-center thing. I think they could survive this road trip.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas is playing terribly right now, so I mean, I don't know what you would need. You just need Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and a couple other guys, and you're going to win one of those two maybe if you play well, almost whatever the roster construct is, and there isn't a center you really are too worried about with that team. I don't think they're going to sweep them, though, and I don't think they're going to sweep San Antonio. I just don't think that, you know, it just takes 12 offensive rebounds and a half like they did tonight, which is – they gave up, and which is easy to do when Juan Toscano-Anderson's the one in there, yeah, banging, you know, and he's not banging. He's actually getting banged. That really gives them a really narrow margin of error, because they're going to give up an extra 8 offensive rebounds to 10 a game, I think, in every one of these games. And that's tough. You're giving up all those extra shots.
I did put a stat in my post-game article that Boston entered as the sixth best offensive rebounding, yep, team in the league. Tice hammers the glass. Tristan Thompson hammers, yep, the glass. Yep. You know, they got wing, you know, Tatum will get a few. Jaylen Brown got a big and-one late where he got a rebound and kind of went up on Draymond for an and-one. The Mavericks are the third worst offensive rebounding team in basketball, and the Spurs are the sixth worst. They have Jacob Poeltl, who historically has really beat, yeah, up the
Warriors.
And he, you know, he might in those little like backup minutes. And you know, maybe Aldridge has a throwback game, although how awful did he look in Chase Center? And you know, maybe Porzingis has a nice night on the offensive glass. It's possible. But to be honest, if we're just strictly talking about offensive rebounding, they're actually playing two of the worst teams in basketball on this road trip, you know, over their next four, yeah, games. So it's somewhat of a soft spot for that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think they can split it. I do. I mean, I don't know if they can look for a lot more than that. And we saw, though, again, yes, Celtics are bigger. Their wings are big. Like, they're all big. And I think that took its toll on the Warriors. Like, they just were getting leaned on. They had to try to, you know, push and push. Every possession was a couple of bounces and a bang. You know, that's where you want a center, just to be able to absorb that. And the wings don't have to. And we saw, you know, every matchup the Warriors were smaller in. And Draymond looked little. And Toscano Anderson looked little. And Pascal looked little. Yeah, not maybe not the case exactly like that against Dallas and San Antonio. But I think it does wear on smaller players. And, you know, you get into those wrestling matches and you're going to lose and you're going to get tired. So we'll see. And on the road is different too, although we all know it's a little, you know, it's very different this season. But I think these are going to be tough games. I just think then it's a narrow margin where you can't play a normal or even close to a normal roster. And I'll say, you know, they're going to have to count on Eric Paschal to play some major quality minutes. And they have not gotten that in a while from him. They just have not gotten that from him.
No. And he went 8 straight games scoring double figures. And it was really, remember that 7-game homestand when they found his role, right? They figured out that he was a small ball center. And he killed Kanter and he killed Zubac and some of those other centers he played. And he looked really energized. And he even had Ethan coming on the Warriors Plus Minus talking about Montrezl Harrell, right? Yep, remember when he's like, they found their Montrezl Harrell. Well, you know what Montrezl Harrell does? He eats offensive rebounds. I mean, the guy is, his per 36 offensive rebound numbers are absurd. Eric Paschal is not a good rebounder. Eric Paschal is averaging below 3 rebounds a game. He had 0 tonight. He had 0 a few games ago. I think over, you know, 70% of the games this year, he's had 0, 1, or 2 rebounds. And he's their backup center now, you know. He can't be doing that. Nope. And he needs to rebound much better, which means boxing out, which means getting in the fray, which means bringing regular energy. And he also needs to score more. He's scored 5 or below points in 5 out of the last 6 games. So, yeah, I would say spotlight most on during the road trip is Draymond Green and Eric Paschal.
Yep, no question. And they're undersized, but they're going to have to try to take advantage of that. They're going to have to try to be faster. They're going to have to try to run. They're going to have to, you know, play that motion offense and try to get the, you know, they did that early, by the way, you know, the Celtics. It was like, I had a double check. Like, they're playing 2 bigs, Tristan Thompson and Daniel Tice, to get, like, is that possible in the NBA? And they take advantage of that on the rebounding and things like that. But, you know, the Warriors were getting them into pick and roll, and they weren't jumping out on Steph Curry. So guess what? Steph Curry goes crazy in the first quarter. They tightened it up later in the game, but like, you know, that's what the Warriors have to do, is like try to get these bigger players into motion, but they're not used to jumping out to the 3-point line. Because I mean, you know, against bad teams we've seen Steph get that open, but against good teams we have not seen Steph get open like that. You just kind of come off a screen and there's nobody there and he's just open, you know, taking a free flowing 3. That does not happen a lot against good teams. And Boston's a good team. Again, they tighten it up. But the Warriors have to get in that action. They're going to have to just get, you know, moving around and try to get up and down. And we're going to talk about this guy. They could use a little bit better play out of Kelly Oubre because they're going to play him. We know Steve Kerr is going to play him. He said it again today. Not going to change the starting lineup. But, man, when he plays bad, they're terrible. They look terrible when he plays bad. There's just some guys can just kind of disappear and not have an impact, bad or good. He has an impact when he's good, and he has a major impact when he's bad, and he was bad tonight.
He's a loud player. There's no question. What's funny is I thought the Wiggins bad game hurt him more because they've been so used to good Wiggins games. He's been so consistent that it was like, you know, he missed a lot of his threes tonight, open threes, which he hadn't been doing. He was above 40%. He missed a big one down the stretch. I think he went 0-2 on some big free throws in the fourth quarter. He just, you know, look, if he's going to play 12 games and be really steady in 10 of them and have 2 bad games, the Warriors will take that, and that's what the Warriors have been getting. But, yeah, you comboed tonight him and Oubre having a bad game. Like, Steph played by far well enough to win this game. Yes. You know, it almost stings because he's not going to have a ton of 38, 11, 8, super efficient. You know, he's going to have good nights. But this was one of those nights where you almost have to bank that win. Yep. And they didn't. And Oubre is the bigger wild card question mark moving forward. But yeah, as you go on the road trip and you talk about small ball, well, part of small ball is like your wings have to play really well, and your two best wings or your two most important wings are Oubre and Wiggins.
Yep. And I'll just say, you know, I think Wiggins was like +8, by the way, and Oubre was -25. Again, it's the relative stats. It depends on who you're playing with. It depends on the moment of the game. But Oubre got drilled in almost every minute he was out there. And he's out there sometimes with Steph. So that tells you kind of where the game turned. It turned in the minutes where Oubre was out there when Steph was not out there. That's that second unit. And it got whomped. So Kerr tried to mix it up in the second half. Clearly, he had Steph stay on for a couple possessions into the fourth quarter.
And then he had Wiggins and Oubre.
He got Wiggins back in there, absolutely. And, you know, it was better. It was better, but it just tells you that he's got to mix up the flow, extend minutes. Steph plays 38 minutes tonight. You know they don't like that, and maybe that was part of the reason he wasn't, you know, he was kind of passing up shots or not chasing the ball in the fourth quarter at the end. Maybe he was a little more tired than he normally is. All these things happen when you're unbalanced, when your rotation's unbalanced, and it's unbalanced. The Warriors' rotation is unbalanced. The centers, definitely, you know, that's one they could have used James Wiseman out there tonight, by the way, Slater. They could have
You could feel his the absence of that athleticism.
Yeah. And just like,
and length.
Guys just, do you know how many, you know, Celtics is dribbling to the rim and laying it up, you know. That you know, they would have had a second thoughts if James Wiseman is sitting there. Maybe he would have fouled him, don't know, but just that.
Or just like the, There was those like 3-on-2, 4-on-3 dives from Draymond, where, by the way, Draymond afraid to shoot. Yep. And he's trying to throw the lob over the top. He's like tossed one over the top to like Toscano Anderson, who tried to like one hand tip alley-oop it in and missed. And you know, Looney obviously is catching those coming down. Pump fake, pump fake, pump fake, pump fake. Now he's out. But yeah, I mean, those are Wiseman dunk. And Wiseman's flaws have been discussed plenty by us, by others, and you know, maybe the Celtics are out there and Kemba Walker's getting him on pick and roll and Tatum's, you know, getting to the rim and getting and ones, and maybe Wiseman doesn't have a good night tonight, but you can tell where they miss. He isn't just getting courtesy minutes because he's a lottery pick. He is a needed factor in the rotation and an injection of length and speed and athleticism that they don't have. They're much more dynamic, particularly offensively. He has his defensive trouble, but offensively, they're so much more dynamic when he's at least thrown into
the mix. They have nothing like him. Now, Chris, if he was healthy, would have been something like him, you know, in something, you know, athletic and catch the lob. Without Chris, they have nothing like Wiseman. I mean, again, yeah, throwing lobs. They throw ahead to James. I tweeted about that. I think to Kevon Looney. Like, what are they doing? even if he catches it ahead of everybody, he's going to get caught. Like, he's so slow. He's not going to convert that. He's not going one dribble, one, you know, jump off 1 foot, bam. That's not happening with Kevon Looney. Wiseman is a unique piece for them, a unique thing. In a game like this, it could have been a wild card thing. And you know, he's going to be out for a while. That's what happens. But they are supremely unathletic right now, except for what, Wiggins and Oubre, right? That's it. Bazemore, I guess.
Oubre is a super
athlete. He's a super athlete who sometimes you don't want him to be a super athlete, because then he just charges into the lane. I'm going to dunk over Grant Williams. And guess what? You are not, because the ball is going to go right back and down the other side for a dunk for the other team. You know,
Wiggins is like a glider.
Yes,
he almost like doesn't want to use his athleticism as much as he does. But I mean, if he's your wing, you feel fine on your right. Their wing is, the problem is their front court's not. I mean, like Draymond Green never was considered a high level athlete, and clearly just athletically is not what he used to be. Pascal, ground bound, Looney, who out now, but still. Juan Toscano-Anderson.
He's just a three-point assassin, that guy. He's just spot
up. 3-3, credited Ron Adams with helping retool his shot. If he's going to hit threes, he really is helpful.
If he's going to hit those, he's playing. He's going to play. He had a few last season, if I remember correctly, again, in you know, meaningless minutes, but you know, he had a stroke. He didn't have this kind of stroke, but you know, he'll play. He's just not, you know, he's really a three, you know. He's what we used to think of as a three. So, he's playing like got to play big 4 minutes, kind of like a five if it's he and Draymond out there, and they're going to get taken advantage by a lot of people with that. Just the way that goes. But he's going to play. I mean, they need anybody who's over 6'6" to be playing some minutes out there. I said this, like, if Smiley Geach was healthy, he'd be playing 10 minutes a game right now.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
I want to get into the roster construction point. And let's just do it now. Like, remind me, I did want to talk about Draymond's road trip. And that's what we can wrap up with. But you mentioned Smiley Geach, so you've dragged me into it. I don't think he would be playing 10 minutes if he was healthy, because I just don't think he's good enough. Like, to me, Juan Toscano-Anderson is a better five right now than Smiley Geach. Eric Paschal is a better five. Draymond Green, obviously, is a better option at the five. Like, you know, Smiley Geach long-term, if he ever does develop into an NBA contributor, will be a stretch five, but he's just so far away. And you know, some of that is because of the project that they drafted. I mean, he was always going to be a long-term project. Some of that is, you know, it's unfortunate for him that he COVID hit, and he basically, in probably the most important summer of his developmental career, was taken away. And then he comes into training camp and tears his meniscus in like the first preseason game, essentially. Like, that's unfortunate luck for him. But at the same time, like, I don't think any of us, even if he got an entire summer, expected him to be ready to roll for a winning team, which is, so they basically signed on to in a sense, waste a roster spot the last two seasons for, you know, a guy that they thought had upside. We'll see. I mean, who knows? Maybe Alan Smiley just will be a player at 25. But as we've discussed, they need something now out of that roster spot, particularly when, and they didn't know this at the time they drafted him, but Klay Thompson out for two straight seasons. Marquese Chriss now is an empty roster spot out for basically the season. Jordan Poole, another guy they got in that draft, more ready than Smiley Geach, actually, in his last game, gave them good minutes in the rotation. But still, at this point, I mean, he's in Orlando now. He's healthy, and he's in Orlando in the G League bubble for more seasoning. That's an empty roster spot. So essentially, now you have four roster spots during coronavirus times giving you nothing.
Yeah, no question. And again, it's not our money, whatever they do. They're way, way, way over luxury tax. We understand every dollar costs a little bit more. Tons more, and Smiley Geach is on a guaranteed contract. One, the wisdom of first moving up for him in the second round and then giving him a 2-year guaranteed contract. That's a different era for this team. That was we've got a great roster, and we don't need a 15th man. You know, the 15th man could just not even be here. That's a different decision for them now. That feels a lot different. And then once they lost Clay for the season, I was like, I would have just said, okay, we no longer can have Smiley Geach on this team because he's just not good enough. And it's burning a roster spot. And if you do get a series of injuries, if you do get a COVID situation, you're going to want a body. I mean, that's why they had 6-7 centers in the past, because you run through guys, and they did sometimes run through guys. And it just, you know, you don't. You need somebody who can play center. You can need somebody who just give us 20 minutes at this position, and they have none of them at the moment. Smiley Geach is a luxury on a team that can't afford him. Again, they're not winning the championship this season. They're not going to be even the top five seed probably. But you want to be competitive. You want to win as many games as you can. This is Steph Curry's prime. You're on television. People are watching you. Maybe some players that you're going to try to get in the future, you want them to feel like this is a winning situation. Every little thing helps. And Smiley Geach is a luxury that they cannot afford just roster-wise right now. And then you lose Chris, so you put Poole in there. That's four guys. You're playing with an 11-man roster when everyone else is playing with 15. That's not good. And then you get injuries, and then you're really, really feeling it. I mean, you know, and Michael Mulder right now isn't playing. Barely played tonight. I don't know where he is on the rotation. So now you're basically playing with 10. Now you're playing with 10. And then someone else gets hurt, you play with 9. This is a bit of a squeeze. And, you know, someone else could get hurt the next game. Someone else could, two people could get hurt. And you're riding with Alex Mijic because you gave him a guaranteed money.
Well, you know, you're mentioning hurt. Imagine if they had an outbreak.
Yeah. Then they're losing games anyway. But, yeah, then you're down like 7 guys.
That's kind of the crazy part about this where, you know, it's not like we haven't heard of a whole position group being, inactive this year. I mean, the Broncos played without a quarterback in week whatever. Yep. But usually that's because, you know, one person in a position group might have gotten the virus and then there's contact tracing and boom, you know, 4 players all at the same position have to miss a week. Like, that could have happened. This is like legitimate injuries. Do you think, again, if they signed a center right now, he couldn't help this week? So this week they're going to have to survive without it. But are you of the opinion that they do need to make a roster move and get another veteran center in that's playable? Because guess what? Kevon Looney, yeah, it's only an ankle tweak tonight, but like, it's not like he has this, sustained bill of health that makes you feel confident. And then Wiseman, 19, you know, he's going to be up and down. And also, like, he plays a little bit of a dangerous game going up for crazy dunks, five times a game.
What's the most games he's played in his career in a season? 20, 25, So,
yeah.
He could hit a wall even if he was healthy. Yeah, I thought they needed another center anyway. I mean, I understood why they were doing this because they had, if they added somebody, he wasn't going to play until someone else got hurt. But now that's happened. I would have thought they needed another center. I would either Smilagic or Mulder, one or the other. And I like Mulder, so I would have said Smilagic, but Mulder's got the non-guaranteed. If they're not going to be playing Mulder, you can cut him. And I don't think anyone's going to pick him up. So he can just kind of be there like Chris was, last season, right? They cut Chris and they just signed him again. I would say they need another big body, and it doesn't have to be a great big body. It just got to be somebody that they can get away with. What if they were playing Denver next, right? What if they were playing Utah next?
Yeah, you know? No, it's funny. I looked at their schedule. I was like trying to look for the next like big center they might have to deal with. I mean, it's Nikola Vucevic probably, who's like, he actually is an all-star. People don't realize. But, you could probably still beat Orlando with Vucevic giving you 30 and 15. But it's not, Cleveland comes in at some point and they actually have a nice little like Drummond, Jared Allen combo. Yeah. But they're not playing a good team with a good center for a while. They even get the Nets on the night before Valentine's Day, and that's the Nets' weakness, right? Yep. That'd be almost a fun game seeing small ball. Although you'd like to see Wiseman in that mix, and that's the thing. Wiseman will be in. He should be back by pretty much the end of the Texas trip. Same with Looney. So. Short-term problem that they can manage, but long-term roster flaw that probably should be fixed. And
yeah, I'd say going into next season, when if they're serious about this, they need 4 centers. That's the roster construction I would think they would do, and have everything else kind of flow from there. I don't know how you do it, but going a season with 2, basically, which is what they did this season, because Chris got hurt. I guess Chris got hurt in the first game, but still, it just was a very, very thin line, and they're already all the way through it, and you might as well just protect yourself. I don't know if they're going to do it this season, or just like, a bigger 4. They don't have that big 4. Like, even that, who I can't even think of it right now because most big 4s are 5s now, but just somebody.
Yeah, I was going to say like a David West, but exactly. The thing is, like, if they had a David West, he would be a center.
Yeah, remember when Favors was the 4, in Utah? Something like that where, he's a 4, but he's really a 5. And then we just kind of slot down that way. They don't even have that because Pascal is not a big 4, and he's playing small ball center. So,
well, you know what else? And this can maybe wrap us up. They need a better Draymond Green.
Yep.
He had 11 rebounds tonight, which, his most in a while.
He had a block shot, by the way, Slater. Block shot.
Two block shots. He tied it. He doubled his season total. But the offense, he's just in a deep, you know, season long, you know, season over season funk at this point offensively. But on this road trip coming up, he's going to probably be needed to guard Porzingis a bunch. He's going to need to guard Aldridge. He's going to need to rebound like crazy. He's obviously going to have to show that his conditioning's in a better place. And guess what? Most of his rough games this year have been on the road. He seemed to have worse conditioning in those games. He's going to have to do this on an entire Texas road trip. While also, you know, ratcheting up some of the other areas. Like I said, the scoring. I mean, tonight there's times where, he's looking for a James Wiseman lob to almost escape having to try to shoot a contested layup. And you're like, dude, you probably just need to take that contested layup at this point. It's not even that contested. It's just, you know, there's one guy in between and he always wants to make the pass. So mixed in all that, I mean, look, they're paying him whatever, $25 million. He's their second most important player. He's really needs a nice road trip.
No question. I mean, he needs a nice run of games. And we'll see if he gets it. I didn't think he was terrible tonight, but clearly there are things he needs to do. I mean, the pushing it is part of it, but you need to push it to effect. You need to push it to get results. And, you know, it's different. He's throwing those passes to Juan Toscano-Anderson in the lane, right? I mean, some of those are good passes. That is not particularly good. Again, we're talking about throwing the entry pass to Kevon Looney. I just never understand why they do that. They still do it. It's maybe smart basketball, except for the personnel. But no question, if he could just score 6 points a game regularly, count on it, 6 points a game, things would be different. I don't know that they can think that. I don't know. So, yeah, if you're talking about getting 2 points from Draymond and 6 points from Pascal, that's a problem. That's a huge problem for them. But of course, we say all this, and they lose by four to Boston. I mean, it wasn't a great Boston game. They're kind of, you know, not so great this season. But you could just see, right? And I mean, Jason Tatum, I can go get a shot off when I want to. Jaylen Brown, I can get a shot, or I can just chase down a rebound and I'll put it back in. Like, they've got those guys, and I think that's kind of what you want to see out of Draymond, not to get the shot, but like, I'm going to go chase down this ball. I'm going to go get it. I'm going to pull it away from somebody, which we've seen Draymond do when he's at his best. I'm just going to will myself because that's who I am, because I'm a great player. And we have not seen a lot of that out of Draymond. Maybe, that's just not who he is anymore. But Boston just won this game because they got better players, you know, period. Kemba Walker hit a couple shots, you know, whatever. Tristan Thompson grabs a rebound, knocks it around. That's what they need, something out of Draymond where I'm Draymond Green. This ball's coming to me. I'm Draymond Green. I'm going to flush this dunk, you know, with a guy on me because that's what I'm going to do. Haven't seen that much for a while when we've all understood that. But, yeah, I think the Warriors do need to see. They need to see a lot of things in the next few weeks. That might be the number one thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's about to face two guys that he historically likes to face, Porzingis and Aldridge. So it will be interesting. All right, Tim, 2-2. We're both in agreement that a 2-2 road trip is probably what, not necessarily, I mean, aim for whatever they want to aim for, 4-0 if they want. But 2-2 to me is a success, at least a minor success.
I'd say
success.
0-4, and I think the season's just about over. I'm going to say that, you know.
Ooh, yeah. Over.
I mean, you know, not over like everybody gets fired. I'm saying over like they're not going to make the playoffs. I will say that if they go on.
Well, remember that there's 10 seeds.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So. I just mean like they're not going to be a good team. I know. I should have factored that in. Yeah, they could be pretty bad and still getting that. I'll just say they're not going to be one of the top 8 teams in the league the way I view it. If they go 0-4, they just won't deserve it. And whatever the roster situation, they go 0-4 to go 11-14, what it would be.
Yeah.
I think that would start them on a thing that we're just going to say, okay, just try to play your best and get through the season. I really, you know, 0-4 would, against those teams, you got to pick off at least one. And I think we're both saying they could probably get two, and they get three.
They should get
two. It's a really good trip. So, we talk about this endlessly. And I think 0-4 would be where they make the move with Oubre. 0-4 with it is, you know, they'll start talking about trades. They might be doing it anyway, but I'm just saying 0-4 would be the one that hits them that this is not working out the way that we had hoped, and there must be changes. They already made the one with Looney for Wiseman, kind of minor. something bad on this road trip, and I think they're gonna do much more stuff than that, just because they can't keep doing this.
Well, the national TV audience will get to see this drama. It's TNT Thursday night, and then it's ABC Saturday night, both against Dallas at Dallas, a Dallas team that, as of me speaking, has lost six in a row. I believe they do play a game before that, so maybe it's either one game win streak or a seven game losing streak, but we will talk to you after those games.
See you guys.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.